A little while ago, I decided to start taking some golf lessons. And I don't think it's, you know, to become a scratch golfer or something like that. I'm just trying to kind of elevate from pure hackery to maybe be mediocre. And I knew I needed help. I remember talking with my friend, Father Nathan Goble, in a similar situation. And he told me, you know, I either need to get lessons or get out. You know, just like, get away from this game. So I'm trying the lessons route. And it can be tough because really what has to happen is that there are these core kind of ingrained defects in my stance, in my swing, and how I move. And those kinds of things need to be addressed on that deeper level. It's not just a little kind of tweaking on the margins, but a real kind of change to my entire swing, a renewal, so to speak. And that can be tough to kind of get out the old and bring in the new after decades of certain habits. There has to be this deep change. And it gets uncomfortable. You know, I'm kind of maybe just on a slight uptick. You know, I've been in kind of the valley of challenge right now. But I remember one day my instructor, as we were working, I remember him just saying, congratulations on being willing to get uncomfortable. Because if you aren't, then nothing changes. I remember when he said that, I liked it. I was like, boy, I got to use that in a homily someday. And it's true, though. You know, if you're not willing to get uncomfortable, nothing really changes. And that's true not only in golf, but in our spiritual life as well. And that deeper renewal that God wants to bring about in us. Our readings today speak about having to get down to those deeper obstacles, to that change. And it gets set up first by our first reading where Moses is instructing Israel to observe the commandments of the Lord, as he says, that you may live. And he also says, observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations. And so they're called to live by these commandments of the Lord, that they may live, that they may be this sign to the nations as well. But keep reading after Deuteronomy and beyond. And indeed, we see that Israel could not live up to that. They could not live and observe the commandments of the Lord in any sustained way, but fell again and again. And why was that? Were the commandments not sufficiently clear? You know, did they not have enough education or something like that? No, there was a deeper ingrained issue at play, a deeper problem of the heart. And that problem of the heart is what Jesus is putting his finger on in our gospel today, where he tells the people, from within people, from their hearts come evil. All these evils come from within, and they defile. And so there is this woundedness in the heart that leads to all kinds of evil. And that was a reality for Israel. But we have to admit as well that we have these same kind of struggles, our inability to keep the commandments, to live out fully the teachings of Jesus. And we have these wounds of the heart that can still lead us into sin and into different patterns of sin that just don't seem to change. There needs to be this ongoing and this deepening renewal. This challenge was recognized from the very beginning. Here's what St. Paul would tell the Ephesians. You know, they're Christians, they're baptized, they're receiving grace, they're in the new covenant. Nevertheless, there's this renewal that's still needed there. And so he tells them, put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way, in righteousness and holiness of truth. So there's this struggle still. The Catechism points to that as well. Paragraph 2520, noting that, yes, baptism confers on its recipient the grace of purification from all sins, but the baptized must continue to struggle against concupiscence of the flesh and disordered desires. So there are these heart problems that remain, that contribute to impurity and pride and wrath and greed and clinging for control and sloth and unforgiveness, fear-driven behavior, all of these different kinds of things that these wounds deep within can leave us subtly crippled and bound, blocking the freedom, the wholeness, the graciousness, the intensity of faith and love that we could have and that God so much wants for us. But my brothers and sisters, there is good news in this. That same paragraph in the Catechism continues. It says, "But with God's grace, the baptized will prevail." God will help us in this if we are open and willing. And so we turn to our second reading, which is so hopeful, where St. James says this, that God the Father willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits for his creatures. And then he instructs us, humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. And so the word of truth has been planted within us. And what word is that? It's not just some word. It is the word, the Logos, the second person of the Holy Trinity, has been given to us and is within us and is at work. And we need his truth planted in us to heal our wounds of the heart, to give us genuine peace, to order our hearts rightly to God. And so St. James tells us to humbly welcome the word of truth. And I think welcome in this sense is to be ready, to be willing to be changed by the word of truth. I think often, you know, we're in the information age. Information's good. You know, we can take faith studies. There's great podcasts out there. They have their place. We can read scriptures and even read holy meditations, but I think so often we don't let the word of truth really probe into what ails our hearts. I think about in my own life, back as a kid in elementary school on the playground, I remember this very clearly, having a great time playing kickball and, you know, really getting into it and you know, wanting to do well. And so I remember sliding into kind of second base on the playground, and well, it was an asphalt playground, so ouch, you know, and so I had this like big scrape on my knee, but like I didn't want to deal with that, and like it was fun playing. And so this is early 80s, and they got, you know, your high socks, so just crank that sock up over my knee, problem solved, right? I don't have to deal with this. Boy, later on when I was coming in from the playground, I remember the school nurse, Rosemary, very sweet lady, noticing me walking with my sock, especially high, and this big red splotch, kind of blood coming through, and Matthew, what did you do? You know, and wow, you know, it really kind of hurt as she had to kind of gingerly kind of separate the sock off my scraped knee. It had to be dealt with in the end. And I think we can be tempted to manage our hearts on our own, maybe with a faltering self-reliance or just try to conceal the problems in a false kind of comfort zone of mediocrity. Or maybe get distracted by worrying about other things like those Pharisees and scribes and their man-made traditions. Because the alternative, welcoming the word of truth into our hearts, that can be scary. Maybe that can even feel dangerous. You know, what will come of this? But like my golf instructor says, if you aren't willing to get uncomfortable, nothing will ever change. My brothers and sisters, you are not alone. And God, the divine physician, wants to make a healing breakthrough for our hearts. This can happen in many ways as we become open and humbly welcome that word of truth into our hearts. It can happen in a lot of ways that God can arrange. But I know one way that people are finding really powerful these days are the healing the whole person retreats put on by the John Paul II Healing Center, something that we're going to be having right here in our parish. And what's the basic idea of that? I do write about this more extensively in our bulletin, but the basic idea is this, that in our lives, at times we simply experience or perceive a failure of love in our life. Whatever that might be, somebody fails to do something or something is done to us. And this can cause kind of wounds, especially in our childhood where we're not equipped to maybe understand well. And we can take on kind of false conclusions out of that wounding experience. Maybe it's about ourselves, identity lies, that, you know, at core, I'm worthless. Or maybe we can hold on to false judgments about others, that, you know, others will always let you down. Or maybe we kind of defensively form a vow like, I will never entrust myself fully to anyone else. And when our actions are governed, are influenced by these kinds of lies, these wounds in the heart, it leads into all kinds and varieties of sin that harm us further and harm others as well. One image for this is that these wounds, these kind of lies we've taken on board through those failures of love, they're like hidden damaged roots that kind of hurt the tree so that it inevitably produces some of these bad fruits of sin. These kinds of wounds that are deep within us, they can be a significant reason why we're stuck in certain patterns of sin. But we can invite the Word of Truth, Jesus. We can invite Jesus into these core wounds that need His healing, replacing those lies with His truth, with His goodness, with His mercy. And that becomes then a healing process as we allow the Lord and open ourselves to that kind of deep heart work. And that process of healing can help us then to grow in freedom, in wholeness, in our genuine graciousness, and an intensity in our faith and love that we rightly desire and God wants for us so much. Archbishop Aquila, he very much wants the Healing the Whole Person retreat to be here in Denver, and we're very excited to be able to host it right here at Light of the World. The reason why Archbishop wants that is because he has personally experienced the benefit of this Healing the Whole Person method and the healing of wounds. And as a matter of fact, all the priests of the Archdiocese in our convocation the other year, we had a taste of this from the John Paul II Healing Center, of that healing the whole person. And it was remarkable how well it was received by priests who are very tough and skeptical crowd, and speakers get up in front of them. And it was the best received I've ever seen. I myself plan to go on one of the retreats in November, you know, for my own good, but also then to help get ready for the retreat that we will have here at Light of the World in December. And so I strongly recommend your signing up for the Healing the Whole Person retreat. I think will be a very powerful experience. Healing the Whole Person retreat, it happens at the beginning of December. It's a Thursday evening, a Friday evening, and then Saturday during the day. And so you might be thinking, oh, great, okay, it's in December, you know, in November I'll kind of check in, see if I've got time to do this thing. Wrong. Registration starts this Tuesday. The retreat's in December. Registration, September. So September 3rd, okay? And people are going to sign up from our parish, from the parishes around us, from the archdiocese, from the state, from the nation. It's a national retreat that happens but a few times a year. It will be filled by the end of this coming week. So I encourage you to act with faith, act decisively, and sign up and join me at that retreat. And just know that healing the whole person, it doesn't stand alone. We're doing our Be Healed study this fall, the book of the founder of the JP2 Center. We'll be doing that leading up to the retreat and then even afterwards. And afterwards, we'll have prayer services, opportunities for help. So as this process of healing, begins, you are not left alone. My brothers and sisters, this is something that I think is so hopeful. As the Catechism says, with God's grace, the baptized will prevail. So however you approach this, whatever means you take around this, may we all be open to this heart work that God wants to accomplish within us. And maybe that means, asking some questions about, like, why do I do the things that I do? What moves me to in this certain way? What lies might I be buying into, have bought into about myself, about God, about others that I need to be liberated from? Maybe what experiences or memories in my life have kind of built up those lies or hold me bound and not totally free? And then invite the Lord into those to bring His truth. He is the Word of truth to give us that healing we need. And I'd say just even right now in this Mass, as you're preparing to receive Holy Communion, to open yourself again to the one who is the divine physician, the one who can truly heal hearts and set us free. To paraphrase Proverbs chapter 4, let your words, O Lord, penetrate deep into my heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing for their whole person.